is blue. Sugar is sweet. Revenge is sweeter.
I'm passing second.
Meet Sugar Hill.
No, please.
Not a place. But a brand new face.
My friends call me Sugar.
The foxiest.
Looking for anything special?
Sexiest. Deadliest chick in town. The mob took Sugar's man away. And now, she's gonna make them pay.
I want them dead.
With a voodoo priestess called Mama Matrace.
I know what you can do. The power you possess.
How strong is your hate?
And Baron Samedi, too.
My particular special. A drink that I'm famous for. The zombie.
This is my domain. A kingdom of the dead.
And an army of undead behind her.
Each death has had something to do with voodoo ritual.
There's nothing that Sugar can't do.
Use it.
The mob has never seen anything like Sugar Hill and her zombie hitmen.
Donc c'était la bande originale, la bande annonce du film Sugar Hill. Et avant, on a écouté Kleenex alias Lilliput Nice. Donc nouvelle émission consacrée aux femmes par rapport à la Journée internationale de la femme du 8 mars. On continue parce qu'il y a de la réserve. Bon, on ne va pas faire non plus 36 000 émissions, mais on va essayer d'en faire au moins peut-être une deuxième, une troisième. Et on passera à autre chose. Et nous, on poursuit maintenant avec Martin de Muffins, Saigon.
Thank you. The film that sticks out the most to me was my mother took us to see Sunset Boulevard, and I was about 7. And at the time, people weren't as careful with children as they are now, and I don't think she realized the impact of that dead body floating on the swimming pool was on me. I mean, I wasn't traumatized, but it was scary stuff. So we went to the movies a lot when I was a kid, and it was a time when you had a double bill. I loved musicals, and when I was a kid, I wanted to star in a musical comedy, but I didn't have the talents, and my mother, I remember I took tap lessons, and I really wanted tap lessons because I wanted what they call them, patent leather shoes. So my mother just put taps on my loafers, and I went to class, and this girl told me, I felt embarrassed, and this girl behind me, she said, "Get your big head out of here." So I took my big head out and I never went back for a tap. I loved theater. So, I mean, from the time I was, I think, 14, I started getting involved in theater and, you know, was in theater in high school and university with other studies. But I think I just liked make-believe. So I loved, you know, theater. So I started really kind of a theater dance background. But I was practical. You know, I knew I wasn't going to make my living off of that. So I got my degree in mass communications and Russian, but don't ask me anything in Russian. I do not speak Russian anymore. And when I graduated, I liked writing always. And I thought, well, I'm going to be a playwright because I was involved in theater. But still this imperative to make a living. So when I graduated, I didn't know why I think I had a friend in advertising and I thought, well, you know, it could be interesting to be an advertising writer. You know, so my first job was in Detroit at a small ad agency. And for about a year, I don't know if it was a year and a half. And I liked it enough. I mean, I liked writing. So, I mean, I liked, you know, creating, putting words together and creating an image. And then I was involved with one of the producers there. And he said, you know, you really need to go to New York. And from the time I was probably about 10, I didn't dislike Detroit, but I knew I wasn't going to stay there. I can't explain. I just knew this isn't it, and you know, I'll be going somewhere else. I mean, if you couldn't find a job, you really had to have something wrong with you. So I went through advertising agencies, but as a secretary. And even though I was always taught, never say that you can type, you know, but I knew I didn't have confidence in myself. So I entered as a secretary and quickly enough was hired as a junior, you know, copywriter, because they asked questions about, you know, it was also the, call it the tail end of, it was the benefits of the civil rights movement. So even people like me who hadn't participated that much, but I was the age that benefited from it because they.
Alors là, c'est une interview avec Franza Woods, donc qui a réalisé 2 courts-métrages, Killing Time et Franny's Work, je crois. Il faudrait que je relise Chéri Bibi, parce que c'est dans le. En fait, donc Daniel de Chéri Bibi l'a interviewé. C'est la première interview du nouveau numéro 14. Je crois que c'est Franny's Walk ou Franny's Vision. Donc, c'est sur le quotidien d'une femme de ménage qui travaille dans un studio de danse, je crois. Et donc, en fait, il montre les danseurs et il montre le quotidien de la femme de ménage. Enfin, elle, en même temps. Enfin, j'ai pas vu le court-métrage, hein, mais c'est ce qui est décrit dans l'interview. Donc, vous pourrez lire dans le nouveau Chéri Bibi. On va passer, nous, à Stinky Toys. Avec, je crois que c'est Plastic Toys ou Plastic Gangsters. Non, Plastic Gangsters, c'est un groupe. Plastic Faces. Alors, le film, le court-métrage s'appelle Fanny's Film et non pas Fanny's Vision ou Fanny Work. Et donc, c'est sorti en 81 et avant, il y avait eu Killing Time en 79. Et là, maintenant, nous écoutons les Body Snatchers. Et oui, alors, pour ceux qui veulent en savoir plus sur Franzia Wood, il y a eu une interview en français. Ça s'appelle, c'est sur le site Case Rebelle et ça date de février 2020. Voilà, et le titre, c'est, on va dire le sous-titre, c'est « La première chose que j'ai choisie, c'était le cinéma », donc « Franzia Woods ». On écoute donc, comme je le disais, les Body Snatchers avec « Easy Life ».
Yeah.
Suzy Quattro, 14 Crash, et on poursuit avec Exmal Deutschland, Mondlicht. Exmal Deutschland, Mondlicht. Il y a aussi pour les amateurs de rock gothique et post-punk allemand, je vous conseille aussi Grauzone. Et puis il y a un autre groupe dont le nom m'échappe, je crois que je commence par un M. Peut-être qu'on l'écoutera. En tout cas, nous on poursuit avec Sappho et le morceau c'est Thatcher. Et ça, c'était avant le Miss Maggie de Renault, quand même, de 86. Là, on est en 82 ou 83, je crois, avec le morceau Thatcher de... Oui, 82, le morceau Thatcher de Sappho. On poursuit avec un groupe américain que je découvre, que je viens de découvrir, qui s'appelle les Super Heroines, parce que je crois qu'il y a, des, il y a peut-être des rééditions en vue. Donc un groupe, ce qui fait, ce qu'on a, qui pratique, ce qu'on appelle le death rock, hein, un peu comme True Sound of Liberty à une époque, et 45 Grave, et puis aussi Christian Death. Donc on va dire que c'est du post-punk qui flirte avec le rock gothique. Superheroines Remembering Love. C'était donc Superheroines Remembering Love et on passe au heavy metal de Cauchemar avec le morceau Poignard. On salue Annick Giroux.
Thank you.
C'était bien entendu Acid avec Maniac, le groupe donc Heavy Speed belge. On poursuit avec Treasure, donc on passe au rap maintenant. Treasure, rappeuse californienne qui figure notamment sur la compilation Funkadelic de Tizon Records. C'était sorti en 2009 et le morceau c'est Hub City.
You know, you Hub know. City represent us. I got a couple of my homeboys with me.
You got your girl Treasure.
You know,
here we go.
Hub City represent us, only do it real big. Hitting switches in the low, riders chrome on the wheel. Cush in the air, you can smell it everywhere. We don't care, can't stop this. Homie, this is Compton. I'm a Hub City representer, do it for my city. The Cush flow good, these haters get no pity. Gunners on my squad, get you running from my squad. Compton City G, be your body brother locked. Please believe I'm winning, my city stay winning. This is gangsta paradise, and the money, we get it. West Coast, but I'm yelling CPT. I was born on the turf with the chucks on my feet. You know, protected with a nine. If you wanna test mine, go ahead. Wish you would cross that blue Compton sign. BG's work, make your whole crew disperse. When you see how many killers with the heat hit you first, bring your hearse, you go meet it. Your body start bleeding, let you stop breathing. And now you not dreaming. Treasure gutter with it, so they come and get me. I'm a Hub City breed, none do it like me. Hub City representers only do it real big. Switches in the low, riders chrome on the wheels. Cush in the air, you can smell it everywhere. We don't care, can't stop it. Homie, this is Compton. Hub City representers only do it real big. Hitting switches in the low, riders chrome on the wheels. Cush in the air, you can smell it everywhere. We don't care, can't stop it. Homie, this is Compton.
I'm a Compton official, like a ref with a whistle. But I wear khaki suits, chucks with a pistol. Ain't not to miss low, bangers on the 6-4. West baby gangster, don't ask what I hit the switch for. Living life on the edge, raised by the hard heads. Yeah, them same niggas that always come around and start shit. Smoking on the best grade of grass that you can find. At the park on the grass, taking flicks, throwing up signs. Now who style fucks with mine? Nobody on this side of town. You heard a game, I hear a crick, put it down. Spit the illest, realest gangster shit, cause that's what Compton taught me. At the spot, selling dope, smoking weed and sipping coffee. It's awfully sad that Ace ain't rich, cause these other niggas ain't really spitting that gangsta shit. And this is Compton, the death do me, the death do one of these punk ass police shoot me on record label suit.
Hub City representers only do it real big. Hitting switches in the low, riders chrome on the wheels. Cush in the air, you can smell it everywhere. We don't care, can't stop this. Homie, this is Compton. Hub City representers only do it real big. Hitting switches in the low, riders chrome on the wheels. Cush in the air, you can smell it everywhere.
Sacramento, Bay Valley. I'm talking about we in here with no other than a Bay Area pioneer legend. For the ladies, I'm talking about more than just the Bay Area. I'm talking about the West Coast pioneer lady female rapper. You feel me? We are in here with no other than CG from Conscious Daughters. What's going on with you?
Hey, Nick Ovation, what it do? How you doing?
Hey, thank how you doing, Mom? Thank you for being here with us. Pleasure. We appreciate it. Start off and asking you, CMG, where was you born at?
I was born in Oakland, California.
Okay.
I was raised in Berkeley, Oakland, and El Cerrito. My family moved around, but basically a Bay Area native. My father is from Philadelphia. My dad was a crooner. All of his best friends are megastars. One of his best friends is lead singer of The Temptations.
Oh, wow.
Another one of his best friends is a man by the name of Frankie Beverly from Maze. And so I grew up around a lot of creative people. My mother is 100% Native American Indian from Yosemite National Park, where she was born and raised at the bottom of El Capitan.
Okay, and, we can see it.
So yeah, so they basically met at Oakland Army Base and kind of moved into Berkeley, where it was cool to have, you know, interracial kids. So I grew up in Berkeley and then we kind of, you know, moved out through Oakland and El Cerrito and Richmond area. So, you know, I'm a Bay native, you know what I'm saying? I was just a band baby. Growing up, Berkeley Greek Theater, running around with my hair all over the place because my mama didn't know what to do with it. and then my dad would just take it and put it on the top, put a tie around it. But, you know. But yeah, I'm a Bay native.
So true story. Bay Area girl, okay.
Yeah, let me let you know about Special One, too. You know, so the other conscious daughter is originally from Seattle. She was born and raised in Richmond halfway raised in Richmond, and then she moved to Oakland. So she was, you know, naturally from East Oakland, California as well. So.
Oh, nice.
So we got a nice flavor.
And you guys grew up together as kids, or?
Yeah. So, you know, how we met is, you know, Carol grew up on 35th. And her mom always said, you know, her mom didn't want her to go to Oakland schools because at the time, you know, the Oakland school system wasn't looking good back in the 80s, right? So she bused her all the way to El Cerrito High School, right? And the thing is we met in junior high school. We had a mutual friend, and our mutual friend, we kind of stopped hanging around with her. Me and Carol was like, we had so much in common at the time. Me coming up from a band background, you know, Frankie Beverly and Maze came to live in my house when I was, you know, like 5 years old. My dad was pretty much the person, my caretaker. My mom was a nurse, so she worked all kind of crazy hours. So I kind of grew up with them. You know, they would be rehearsing and having, you know, band practice, and, you know, I'm just running around. There's tons of weed, which is probably why I don't really smoke weed like that, because I grew up around so much of it. But, and then with Carol, her mother worked at a radio station called KDIA Radio, which is a really popular radio station from the Bay.
Oh, wow.
And so her mom used to take her to work with her. So Carol learned how to operate all the boards in the radio station. She knew how to do reel-to-reels, cassette tapes, hook up everything at a very young age. So when we met, it was like, wow, we were so into music that we just clicked. And we met at around age 13 or 12.
Okay.
And so that's when she told her mom she wanted to go to the high school that I was going to. I was like, come to El Cerrito. I'm going to El Cerrito High, because I was living in Richmond at the time, right? Richmond Hills. And so that's how it went. Her mom got her, put her on the bus, and she came to El Cerrito High School. And it's a crazy story because when she got there, she took the radio class. There's a radio class at, you know, most high schools have radio classes. Well,
donc là, c'est CMG de Conscious Daughters qui raconte les débuts, pas les débuts du groupe, mais la rencontre avec l'autre rappeuse, donc Kay. Donc elle dit que donc CMG, elle dit qu'elle est, ses parents étaient musiciens, chanteurs, donc elle a grandi autour de la musique, donc du côté de Oakland. Et pour Kay, sa mère était DJ à la radio, animatrice radio. Donc Kay a grandi autour de ça. Donc elles sont rencontrées au collège par une amie commune et donc ça a matché tout de suite. Et voilà. Donc ça, c'est pour les débuts du groupe. On va écouter quand même les Pretenders avec Stop Sobbing. Stop Your Sobbing. Et après, on va peut-être plonger dans le reggae. Qu'est-ce que vous en pensez ?
chicks say we come from Cosmos Boom, but the truth them they know and ting. Them they know say we top ranking, uptown top ranking. Should I see me and the ranking dread? Check all we jamming and ting. Love is all I bring in a me khaki suit and ting.
Althea and Donna, Up Down Top Ranking, et on enchaîne avec les sélecteurs Deep Water.
Deep water, I'm out of money, but it's banked by the bad fish. Hope we're living close to memory. Soundcheck 80s. This week, Soundcheck 80s boldly goes where it has never gone before. A new era of rock and roll is sweeping the nation, and right now we'll take you to that local new wave group, Risa and the Rooters. Where did you get the idea for the Ultraman song? Was it an experience that
Risa and Cherie? That's a fine question. We played at a bar in
Surf City.
Surf City, Long Beach Island.
Called
Murph and Cheryl's Surf Villa.
Okay.
And we decided, or I decided, that it was a good song title. Ultraman and Surf Villa. He has a good speaking voice also.
He's very attractive.
It depends on where he is.
Oh, that's right. When he's in Surf Villa, he's always at his worst, too.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Down the shore.
Just in a bar, and especially there.
And he looks like Warren Beatty, maybe.
He could, or Clint Eastwood.
I have the idea.
Poor Clint.
John Travolta with a short haircut.
C'était RZA and the Rooters, Ultraman in Surf Villa, RZA and the Rooters, un groupe, on va dire, entre New Wave et Pop Rock de Philadelphie dans les années 70-80. On poursuit, nous, avec Marianne Faithfull. Et le morceau que nous avons choisi, c'est Time Takes Time. Ça fait très Rolling Stones comme morceau, comme titre, ça.
Shall laugh with the wind,
the fatal end when the
C'est le moment des news. Alors, on va commencer par un truc tout frais. À l'affiche du Bal des Vauriens numéro 5 qui aura lieu le 2 et 3 mai 2025 du côté du Kilowatt à Vitry, on apprend que le groupe Soft Kill qui était sur l'affiche est remplacé par le groupe Béton Armé. Apparemment, il y a eu un souci avec le chanteur du groupe Soft Kill. Quoi d'autre comme news ? Eh bien, donc le 6 juin 2025, Artère Souterraine organise au Canadian Café la venue de Archaïst, qui fait du black metal et qui sera le sujet d'un épisode du Masque et de l'Enclume, je crois que c'est ce dimanche, donc le 16. Archaïst, Tunguska... le Coven du Carwar. Donc Archaïst, je crois que c'est un groupe breton. Tunguska, c'est un groupe de Tours. Et le Coven du Carwar, c'est un groupe du Berry. Voilà, donc c'est le 6 juin 2025 au Canadian Café, organisation Artère Souterraine. On revient à l'affiche du Bal des Vauriens, le groupe Hardcore de Flex, un groupe britannique, se rajoute à l'affiche donc. Sinon, Profanatica, le groupe de black metal américain, sortira en avril un mini-album 6 titres, Wrath in Dead Angels, chez Season of Mist. Sinon, Seven Metal Inches va sortir en juin 2025 l'album Formed at Birth de Requiem, un groupe de death metal all suisse, un death metal suisse. Alors, c'est un groupe en fait, l'album Formed at Birth était sorti en 2003. Voilà, donc c'est donc une réédition 22 ans après. Pour les fans de Blaxploitation, Shout Factory, donc maison d'édition américaine, sortira le 20 mai un coffret Blu-ray avec 6 films classiques. Donc vous aurez Coffee, Across the 110th Street, Shiba Baby, Black Caesar, High Up in Harlem et Truck Turner. Ça s'intitule Blaxploitation Classics Volume 1. Ça a l'air assez cher quand même, hein, autour de $130 en pré-vente. Il y a un livre sur le mythique second album de Public Enemy qui est sorti le 7 mars. Le livre s'appelle « It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back ». Et c'est écrit par Grégory Salia, donc news sur l'ABCDR du son. Sinon, George Clinton a fait une conférence de presse le 11 mars pour évoquer sa nouvelle plainte, donc un lawsuit, contre Armen Boladian à propos des droits d'auteur de Parliament Funkadelic. Il réclame $100 millions. Et enfin, vous conseille la lecture de l'interview de Grima sur le site Horns Up, interview de mars 2025. Voilà pour les news. Si on écoutait les Violators... Gangland. We'll be right back.
Welcome. I'm Tracy Smith, and this is Here Comes the Sun, a closer look at some of the people, places, and things we bring you every weekend on Sunday morning. Actor Pam Grier is widely known for being the first female action hero ever. Her starring roles in films during the blaxploitation film era of the 1970s inspired A-list director Quentin Tarantino to write a movie for her more than 20 years later.
And I didn't believe it.
You didn't believe it?
No, because he's the number one premier filmmaker, pop filmmaker in the world. I mean, the world. And he said, no, seriously, I'm going to send it to you. I was the third
brother of five. And it was bigger than she ever imagined. Pam Grier was the title character in Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown, opposite Samuel Jackson, Robert De Niro, and Michael Keaton.
What in the bag she gave you?
She didn't give me a bag. Melanie was not a part of the plan.
Not surprisingly, the experience turned her into a big Tarantino fan. Later in the show, Pam Grier on her sense of humor.
You didn't think you were pretty?
No, I couldn't stroke. I couldn't get on eyelashes, and I still can't. You know, I still have a problem. But I never thought of that because we were told, no one, you're not pretty. If your eyes and your nose and your mouth work, that's your beauty in the simplicity of my family. And the pretty people, really naturally pretty, are when you have like Angela Bass and you have Tina Turner, you know, they can get out of bed and they don't put on anything and they look outstanding. Me, it's like, who is that, Mom? Is that Pam? But I have a humor.
Then Lee Cowan takes a trip to the Lone Star State to meet a few pit masters putting a foreign twist on traditional Texas barbecue.
10 years after his very first taste of Texas barbecue, Kareem opened his own food truck. And within months, his Egyptian-style barbecue had earned a nomination for a prestigious James Beard Award.
Don't ask me how.
I think it's beautiful. I think it's like a work of art. I can't wait to eat this.
I really think a lot of the immigrants who are coming to Texas specifically see barbecue as a way, like a palate, to bring the flavors of their culture to the forefront.
That's all coming up right here on Here Comes the Sun. Pam Grier rose to fame in films such as Coffee and Foxy Brown. But she hit a bump in the road in 1988 when she was diagnosed with stage 4 cervical cancer and given only 18 months to live. I sat down with her to discuss how she recovered and how her diagnosis didn't slow down her career.
Have no fear, Pam Grier is here.
To the movie-going public, Pam Grier really was a one-woman hit squad. She was a gun-toting goddess who made her name in films like Coffee and the immortal Foxy Brown, where she fought against low-life drug dealers and the idea that a woman couldn't outfight a man.
I swear, baby, I don't know what you're talking about.
So you didn't realize at the time you were the first female action hero.
Yeah, I was too tall and feet too big. What can I tell you? I didn't fit the plan or anything, but...
So you changed the plan.
I changed it, but it was welcomed.
It was welcomed, all right. In the 1970s, the height of the blaxploitation film era, Pam Grier was the undisputed queen of the genre and one of the few female lead action stars ever.
What are you doing here?
I'm delivering the milk.
And not a lot of other women sought to emulate me because it's harsh. Firing a gun, arms frighten people. Standing up to authority, standing up to injustice. It's daunting, and I didn't know any better, I guess.
Pam, in front of you.
Pam, this way, please, up top.
But she always seemed to win, and in a long career, graduated to roles that didn't involve breaking heads.
You're a great teacher.
Like this one, opposite Julia Roberts and Tom Hanks.
I got a whiff of the chef. He smelled like grilled onions. What's going on with you? Why do you have these?
And now, she's the mother of an L.A. homicide cop in the second season of the hit horror series, Them, now streaming on Amazon Prime.
You're lying.
Grandma? Grandma, are you okay?
You must get offered a lot of projects. What made you decide to say yes to this one, to Them, the Scare?
Insanity. Because I'm not good with bumping a night. You know, I'm not good. I lock the doors, turn on the lights.
Don't sneak up behind me.
You don't like to be scared?
Nope.
But there have been times when her real life was scarier than anything in a movie house. Pamela Suzette Greer was born.